In a world brimming with complexity, few creatures embody harmony like the honeybee. With tireless precision, she dances from bloom to bloom, each motion guided by millennia upon millennia of instinct, each act in service to the whole. And then there are the beekeepers, watchful stewards of this ancient symbiosis. Part agri-scientist, part poet, they move along their hives with the efficiency of Moe, Larry, and Curly, tending to the bees' needs as best they can comprehend, and with the infrequency of a waterfall in the Sahara, sometimes running off, flapping and flailing like a penguin on a hot sidewalk. This is their journey.
Welcome, welcome to Bee Love Beekeeping, presented by our good friends and beekeeping partners over at Manlight. Today, we're going to Hawaii for a conversation with Katie Metzger of Hanai Hives to discuss everything from beekeeping in paradise to alternative ways to make money in your apiary. Some that maybe you haven't even thought of yet. First, there's a new study out about honeybees' eyesight and navigation. We all know that bees are amazing, but we don't fully understand how they do it all. I read through the abstract of this new piece of research and frankly, had a difficult time understanding it well enough to translate it into English that we could all understand. Let's just say the researchers used every 7-syllable word that they could think of. The bottom line, though, is that honeybees can travel several miles from their hive and return in a straight line. No getting lost, no wandering around. Their secret isn't scent trails or landmarks, but it's the way that they read the sky. The bee's eye is made up of thousands of receptors that each sample a small patch of the world. A specialized dorsal rim area at the top handles the polarized sky and feeds information into navigation systems, both in the retina and in the brain. A specialized region sharpens this celestial map. The researchers say that this built-in teamwork explains how bees keep their bearings even when clouds or obstacles break up the view. Honeybees use polarization patterns in the sky as a compass. That pattern shifts with the sun across the day and stays readable even when clouds pass by. So, let's think about it this way. Let's say that you're sailing across the ocean and your GPS goes out. Theoretically, with a system of cameras pointed at the sky and computers to interpret the data, you would have a backup way of determining your location in the world and the direction to return home. Even more amazing is that bees can do this on a cloudy day. The study is published in the journal called Biology Letters, and for those that want to geek out on their honeybee biology, there'll be a link in the show notes so you can read the whole thing yourself. All right, enough science for one day. Let's cross the Pacific to the North Shore of Oahu and meet Katie. Aloha, everybody. We're back over in the 50th state in Hawaii with our new friend, Katie Metzger. Katie, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Mahalo for asking me to be here.
It's good to see you. We have a couple of mutual friends. That's been fun. And hey, if the invitation's still there, I may get over and see you next month.
We'd love that.
We're going to talk about a few things, all about beekeeping in Hawaii. It's different than where I live by miles, and it's different than people in Canada or even Australia or places like that, of course, because of the weather, because of all the flora and everything else. And we'd like to hear what's easy and what's hard and some of the things that you've learned that can help us. And we're also going to be talking a little bit about your business, because people are often asking me, if they're kind of new at beekeeping and they're thinking, I want to jump to the next level and make some kind of a business out of this. And it's hard to make a living selling some honey at the farmer's market. And so I hope you're going to be open to sharing some of the things that you've learned, some of the things that you do there with agritourism and some of that kind of stuff. So with all of that intro, Katie, tell us just a little bit about where you are, how you got into beekeeping.
Ah, okay. Yeah, well, I'm from California and I started beekeeping there. I started actually with my kids' school garden program. I was a volunteer parent in the garden program. And they would put on, you know, workshops and films about all different things, composting, worms, you know, and one was on beekeeping. And it was such a moving documentary that the other parents and I were standing around afterwards and chatting about it. And a very experienced beekeeper who was there overheard us and said, "Hey, I've just moved from Connecticut if you want to meet up." And we were like, "Yeah." So we met up and formed the Ojai Valley Bee Club, and is still going strong. They passed backyard legislation for beekeeping, and I just was so enthralled with bees that I just stayed with it. I helped run that club for a while. We did a lot of bee removals and relocations. That was kind of the main thing that we did, and swarms and just a lot of education. And then once moving to Hawaii in 2014, I very quickly got into working with a skincare company. Everything was serendipitous. A swarm landed at on our property that we just moved to. And my husband's like, "You gotta get the swarm."
It was a sign.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, we just moved here. I don't know if the landlord's really gonna want bees. So I called around, and lo and behold, Honey Girl Organics was two blocks away, and they said, "Hey, we'll catch the swarm, but if you're a beekeeper, we're harvesting." And so they hired me on straight away, and I was pretty much their lead beekeeper for years. But it became kind of more about marketing and the business than bees, because they went from made with organic ingredients to organic ingredients, and that gets a lot more strict, as you know. So we couldn't use our own honey in the products. It just, yeah, I got moved from, you know, beekeeping more into marketing, and you can only talk about fine lines and wrinkles so much. I launched Hanai Hives in 2021, and that's been just a lot of fun. And so I've been doing this little bee business of mine for a few years, and it's just been going great.
So HanaiHives.com?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right. If anybody wants to see a little bit more about what you're doing or see you maybe when they're visiting over there or something. Since you mentioned the business, how about if we jump into that part first?
Maura, yeah. So starting with the name, Hanai means to adopt in Hawaiian, and to adopt and nurture, not just to adopt, but just to bring into your life and your lifestyle. And that's what we do with bees. We have over 47 families now that have adopted beehives. We ask them to make a year commitment, and we malama the hives with them, mentor them through the year so they can learn all through the beekeeping seasons. And then at the end of the year, they harvest honey from their hives. And we do that at two of our apiaries, my home apiary at Sunset and also in Waialua. And then we partner with Turtle Bay, Ritz-Carlton. That's the big resort on the corner. So we have a large apiary there, and that's more focused on honey production. They want to do bee farm tours. We're getting that up and running. And then also we partner with the Kukua Foundation of Hawaii. That's Kim and Jack Johnson's organization. And they do a lot of, you know, environmental work and work in the schools. And we have a glass demonstration hive there. So tomorrow we're doing a big honey tasting, and it's been a lot of fun. Keeps us really busy.
That is a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot. Let's talk about the hosting first. How does that work?
Yeah. So, I mean, anybody that's been beekeeping for a few years knows that you get interested people. And so you're going to mentor someone, but, you know, our life gets busy. So I really wanted to make a commitment to people so that they really learn, and especially through the seasons, because beekeeping looks very different even here, you know, in winter as opposed to summer. I feel like if people want to really learn, they have to make that commitment. And it's no issue, it seems to be. So people, they can start anytime. And we ask them to make a minimum once a month commitment. We mentor them. We're with them next to their hive the whole time. We asked them to come out for a minimum of one beekeeping session, but we tell them we work 6 days a week. You can join us 6 days a week. And it won't always be in their hive. It'll be other people's hives. But I'm finding that that's really where the learning is, because we can put a beehive in someone's backyard and come out every so often and help them. But you learn so much more when you're in an apiary. It's like being in a classroom. You're learning from the other beehives. We did start with this business where, you know, we put a beehive in someone's backyard and they think their bees are doing great. And I'm like, well, if you saw the ones, all the others in the apiary, you would notice the difference, you know? So I'm really finding that that's a better model to learn. And then after the year, if they build up their hive, grow with their hive too, which is also really cool, then they can split it and take the hive home with them, split it again, or just move that second hive, that second colony back to their property and then continue beekeeping.
So the first hive is yours then, it sounds like.
Yeah, I really wanted to, you know, help people meet their goals. So some people, we have an adopt a hive and a host a hive. The host a hive is you show up just as you are. We provide everything, the suits, the smoker, the bees, everything. But you have a dedicated beehive as long as you want. The adopt a hive is for people who they want their own bees. They want to own the hive. They want that. And so they come with their little bucket of tools and their smoker and their own suit, and they take care of their hive. And honestly, there's a lot less of that because it's just easy for people. You know, people are busy and I provide everything. So most people host.
Okay, I get it. How about tours?
Yeah, the bee farm tours are a lot of fun. And that happened actually very organically too. There's a story behind that. But really, they're an hour and a half and we focus again on education. And we tell people we're not doing a show and tell. You're actually being beekeepers with us. And we start by doing a walkabout of the property, because this is a really crazy, amazing property in terms of what bees can forage on. So I explain that, you know, through that whole first half an hour, we're talking about foraging and we're looking for bees. And what I learned about that process is it's really important for people because they might be a little nervous about opening up a beehive with me. So it's inoculating, especially for Keiki. You know, we go to our pollinator garden, there's bees and butterflies landing and they're right there and they can see that they're just busy doing their work, you know, they don't want to sting us. So once we have that experience of walking the property, then we suit up, put on bee suits, we open up a hive and we explain we're doing the real thing. We don't have time to just do a show and tell. We are going to do a full inspection. And then afterwards we have honey tasting. So it's an hour and a half. It's a lot of fun. And then from that experience, honestly, I didn't plan it like this, but it's a good feeder for our host a hive program. And that's why our host a hive program is pretty much maxed out. I mean, we have people that are calling a lot, but we have a little bit of a wait list.
So it sounds like a lot of the people doing the tour, if they're becoming hosts, they must live on island also. Versus people coming from the mainland or Europe or someplace just looking for an experience while they're there.
Yeah, we actually do have a lot of locals that host, that come on bee farm tours. We don't really advertise very much, and that's partially because I want to keep the prices so it's available to local families. And so I know there's other places that advertise big time. Yeah, we have a lot of locals. We do have some visitors as well.
That's an interesting attitude because, I mean, it shows that it's more than just the money, because you could certainly charge double what you are and just aim it at tourists only, and it'd be a whole different experience. Might still be really good for them. Wouldn't lead into your hosting program, but I don't know, you got to do what feels right for you.
Yeah. I'm a beekeeper first and a business person second. I'm really still learning the business part of things. We do private bee farm tours, which is something that's also not as money focused, because if we just loaded up our time slots, we'd make a lot more money. We also really focus on Keiki, and that's half the price of an adult. And I realized that if I targeted adults more, you know, we'd probably make a lot more money, but it's important to me and we do a great job. And I love seeing kids light up, you know, with bees. Yeah, that's really more of our focus.
If you're a beekeeper like me, we're getting into that favorite time of year, honey harvest. But it can be a lot of work. That's where Mad Light comes in. They have everything you need to make the job easier, cleaner, and more efficient. Removal aids, refractometers, uncapping tools, extractors, tanks, wax melters, even the jars and labels. Plus, they have free shipping on glass containers. Whether you're a hobbyist with two hives or a full-blown commercial operation, Man Lake has it all. And don't forget your discount code, MLBLOVE10, it's in the show notes, for $10 off your first $100 purchase. So would you recommend this for beekeepers that live in an area where there's a lot of visitors, a lot of tourists, although a lot of who you have is local people? So I don't know. Give people advice out there.
Yeah, I would say I'm sure that you could make a lot of money. Not a lot of money, I would say. Don't go into beekeeping if you want to make a lot of money. If that's the focus, go somewhere else.
Let's call it supplementing your honey income.
Yeah. Bee farm tours are just a lot of fun if you like that education part. You know, some people are more focused on their time with the bees and the honey and, you know, but there's many paths. But yeah, if you are in a visitor area, it's a great, fun way to welcome in guests and visitors and give them a truly unique experience that's memorable. If you target tourists, I mean, I'm sure people will come. Yeah.
If I were doing something like this, what would I need to do as far as insurance? Are there any other kind of liabilities I need to think about?
Yeah, no insurance company is going to give you insurance for bee stings. And that's always the worry. And you're dealing with insurance agents that, you know, also maybe are a little freaked out about it. You have general liability. We also have workers' comp. The most important thing is to have your safety measures in place and, you know, really know what you're doing. So that's been a challenge, honestly. Not the insurance part, but to vet people that are going to work for me. They need to be really good with people and they need to be really good with bees. Solid on both. I mean, you can't just hire someone and have them do this work. It's really important to vet your people. So my crew is very small. We do a lot. That said, I have 47 families that are growing beekeepers. So I have a pool of people that I can draw from. And what's super cool about that is, as I'm sure you're asked a lot, there's a lot of schools and organizations that ask to, you know, can you come out and do a bee talk? And I just don't have a lot of time. I'm literally working 6 days a week. And I wish the days were longer. But what I'm loving is that my beekeepers, three of them are in a master beekeeping program now. They're going out and doing that. So I'll get a call. Can you come and do a career day on beekeeping? And I'm like, let me call Erica or Nam Chi or, you know, and they're jumping at the chance. Because remember, when you're a new beekeeper, you want that opportunity. And actually, you need that opportunity. If you are going to be in a master beekeeping program, you have to do these experiences. So there's been a lot of cool outgrowths of this business that I didn't intend, but are pretty wonderful.
You mentioned that your Turtle Bay apiary is mostly for honey. Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, how many hives, how much honey is produced per hive in a place like Hawaii?
Yeah. We have, we're getting, I don't know, somewhere 25 hives, maybe 30. I don't know. We're at Kulima Farms, which is 470 acres of farmland that Turtle Bay owns. It's basically across the street. And they want all the honey I can supply them, which is nice in the sense that I don't want to go to farmers markets. I don't have the time for that. I really want to focus on my kuleana and my path, which is outreach and education. So those hives pretty much we are taking care of. And then the honey goes to Turtle Bay for their events, for their stores, that kind of thing. And they do want to do bee farm tours, but there's some infrastructure that we need to get set up. You can't just do bee farm tours. You have to have a proper place to have a restroom. You have to have proper place to wash hands, to prepare, you know, honey tasting. That's really important. And I'm really picky. I want it to be right. And, you know, if you're spending you know, if you're staying at Turtle Bay and you're spending $1,000 a night, you're going to expect that too. So we have a little infrastructure to still dial down, but it's coming. And meanwhile, we're doing tours here, and there's a lot of opportunity for us to do honey tasting there, because as you know, we have a rainy season, and it's kind of a bummer if you come to Hawaii and it's raining the whole time. So we're going to be doing some honey tastings in the resort. There's many different streams of revenue and also just, you know, opportunity. But it's time. It's also, I'm coming down to like, I can only do so much myself. So that's probably one of my biggest challenges in this business is time.
Yeah. Especially up on your end of the island, you can get a lot of rain in the winter.
Yeah.
A lot of big surf and that kind of stuff going on. Tell me a little bit more about the seasonality, because we're buttoning down for snow here in a little while. Do you need to do anything different for the time that it's rainier? Is there a time you need to feed bees? I know that trees, they, you know, like mango trees, they'll bloom now and then they don't bloom the rest of the year. And it's rotating between all kinds of different things in Hawaii. But what are the different seasons like?
Yeah, we have very distinct beekeeping seasons in Hawaii. And even on the North Shore, as you know, it's all about the microclimate. People laugh when they first hear that, you know, especially people that come on bee farm tours. But I'm like, yeah, actually, right now, the bees are in their happy place because our nectar flow is just coming on strong now, which is great. Love it. And I love it because you can pull frames of honey out of the hives and talk about it. And there's no robbing. Everybody's got some. Everybody's happy. But yeah, we'll turn the corner. It flows, you know, the nectar flows. Continues on through maybe like October, even November, even into December. But as you know, the hives grow and we hit that November, December, we're going to hit a little bit of robbing season. And then the tap turns off around December, and then we hit our rainy season, and it's a little more challenging because it's never too cold to do beekeeping here, honestly, but it definitely could be too wet. So that's challenging, especially when people host a hive and they're coming from the other side of the island and they're showing up. Somehow we managed pretty well. We're always checking the weather. But yeah, then moving into our winter season, people think it's sunshine and flowers all year long here, but no, there's really not as much to forage on in the winter here. And so there's less nectar coming in. Turning the corner into spring, we get a pollen flow, really nice pollen flow, but not so much nectar. And we do have to feed our bees. Honestly, in almost every year, I've had to feed bees in March and sometimes April. And then May Day hits, you know, woo, you know, flowers. And that seems to be happy, like, whoo, here we go. Finally, we get our spring. And then, you know, it kind of steadily flows. And then August really is our peak flow on the North Shore. And I know that's very different than the mainland. They're usually finishing their harvests and sometimes even feeding their bees. And then the flow is on. We're busy harvesting all through, you know, from August through December. So that's kind of our year. This year is the first year we didn't have to feed bees. Actually, we had our biggest harvest last year, and we left a lot of honey on the hives, which I prefer. Didn't have to feed our bees in March and April. And then May hit, and I'm like, what the heck? We had to actually feed some of our bees in May and even June. And I'm not sure what that's about. I do have some concerns about the coconut rhinoceros beetle, which is an invasive beetle that's come and it eats the heart of the coconut tree. And people are spraying their coconut trees. And, you know, of course, it affects our aina, affects the bees, affects us. So I do worry because those are the bees that are going to be affected, the foragers that go out and bring the nectar home. And so it's odd to me that in May, June, and even a little bit of July that we weren't seeing, you know, the nectar coming back into the hives the way that we normally do. That's just speculation. I don't know for sure, but something's different this year. It might be just a very late bloom.
I don't care where you live. People are dealing with these same kinds of things. You cannot just set up a calendar and say, on this date every year, I'm going to feed. And on this date every year, I'm going to treat. and on this day I'm going to harvest honey or whatever. You have to go with the flow. And you mentioned microclimates, and for those that have visited Oahu, and frankly, the other Hawaiian islands are the same. There's a wet side and there's a dry side, and it's amazing how different they are. The area where I grew up on your island, much, much, much drier than where you are. And Waikiki, which most tourists are familiar with, is really a desert. They get, 7 or 8 inches of rain a year is it. Yeah. And then where you are, it's what, 5 times that or so?
Probably, yeah. Rains a lot at night, yeah.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about what pests you have and how you deal with them. I know you have varroa. I know you have small hive beetle. Anything else?
No, those are the main pests, honestly. We actually do have some ant issues. Just recently I went to Kulima Farm and man, I got out of the truck and was stung right away. I'm like, what is going on? And we have one spicy hive. What I discovered is underneath that spicy hive is a red ant nest. And I went around to all of the hives and put diatomaceous earth underneath it. And we'll see if we get an attitude change. But when I went to all the other hives underneath it, there was some ants, but it was underneath that hive that had the big nest. So I am curious to see. I mean, obviously, they were defensive. And they had good reason to be, because those ants were all over. They wanted everything. Yeah, I'm curious to see if we'll get an attitude change after things mellow out or not. But so ants are another one. And we have to be careful, because when we do get a lot of rain, the ants are looking for a place to call home, a dry place, especially a place with a lot of good food. So sometimes we've had to create some moats, which we did in California too. Ants can be an issue, but we try to keep that handled.
We had Jasmine Joy on the show quite a few months ago, friend of yours, friend of mine, and she was talking about how she doesn't treat for varroa at all. Do you find that you need to?
Yeah, again, I try to tell our beekeepers there's many paths, and if you're raising bees, you're raising mites, and it's important not to keep, your head in the sand. We want to treat each hive individually. So I tell my beekeepers, we don't treat the whole apiary at once. We follow an IPM and we try to handle each colony separately and uniquely. So we'll test for varroa and we'll treat if we need to. And we only use organic methods, ApiGuard and Formic Pro. But we use screen bottom boards. We do drone culling. We allow brood breaks. So we really try to follow an IPN that is as treatment-free as possible. But no, we will use it if we need to, because I've seen colonies crash because of it. But yeah, I like to provide that learning and background for our beekeepers. And then they can choose after, when they want to take their colony home and do their beekeeping in their backyard, they have the resources and they have the knowledge to choose which path they want to take.
It's a great attitude. It's not the same for everybody, and everybody has a different attitude about those kinds of things.
Yeah, and even in an apiary, I mean, I like to tell people, it's like we can do testing and you can have a hive that has a high varroa count and some that don't. We also do buy queens that are VSH queens. So when I have to buy queens, I always buy that in particular to try to grow our stock. But, I explain that, if you had 5 kids and 1 sick, you're not going to give all your kids antibiotics. You want to give that one, that treatment. And it's the same in apiary. I don't want to treat an apiary. I want to grow our stock as best we can. That's varroa, hygienic.
What about small hive beetles? What's your secret?
Yeah. So small hive beetles, people laugh at me because I find them and I get them out. A lot of squashing. Now, we use little oil beetle traps, honestly. I used to use the dryer sheets, but we've, read studies about how the microplastic fibers can get into the honey and also get spread around the hive. And I just can't deal with that. I mean, I know we eat a credit card of plastic every week, but for me to introduce that into the hive, knowing that it can affect the bees and the honey, I just can't do it. So we use those annoying little beetle traps that are actually quite effective. We have them in almost every hive. They work. I mean, there's, you know, every time we go in a hive, there's at least typically between 2 and 10 beetles in those little traps. So they work. We also, you know, have all of our hives on weed cloth, you know, above ground to try to mitigate the beetles, you know, just falling through the screen bottom boards and just making more beetles right underneath the hives. So the weed cloth does help with that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Did I warn you that I was going to ask you to give us a wild and crazy beekeeping story?
You know what? You did. And I just been perplexed because I'm so many. I mean, I'm beekeeping for a long time. So
you can say more than one.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you could choose. There's just so much. As you know, beekeeping can be quite unpredictable, which I love about it, quite honestly. One of the fun stories and experiences that I had was getting a call from someone who, there was a big storm and one of their trees fell over and split and there was a colony living in it. And they called me, please come save these bees, you know, as people do. And I came over and it was this big tree trunk open with honeycomb everywhere and all the bees in the neighborhood just going at it. It was during our robbing season. And they were like, can you save these bees? And I said, you're saving the bees right now because you're feeding all the bees in the neighborhood. And but they're like, but the colony that was in there. And I was said, you know what? They're just fine. Honestly, there is no way that queen and her colony are going to stay there getting attacked by having all the bees in their neighborhood come and eat their food because they have this quite beautiful, quiet home. And all of a sudden it literally split open and all the resources are now exposed to everyone. She's going to be just fine. In fact, she's going to leave. I'm sure she's maybe even gone already. And you're going to just going to feed the neighborhood. So it's okay. And then as I was saying that, literally a cloud rose from the depth of that hollow, rose in the air, came over and landed on a bush right next to us. And then I'm like, and you know what? There she is. She's right there. And it was like the perfect swarm catch because it was on this bush that I could just like reach over to. And I said, and if you really, you know, if you're interested in it, you can honey that hive and we can keep it in your backyard. And they did. And they were this older couple in their late 70s. And they just jumped into beekeeping with me. They honeyed that hive and we went through all the seasons. It was an amazing experience. It was really fun. But that was just many. I mean, there's so many crazy experiences that happen with bees because you're dealing with Mother Nature and it's Mother Nature is wonderfully unpredictable. And so a situation like this, you'll definitely have your experiences like that if you're with bees.
And you looked very prophetic on that one. Congratulations. They thought you were absolutely some kind of genius. Okay, one last thing that I want to just touch on here. You mentioned the word kuleana earlier. I want you to explain what that means and how it affects how you do beekeeping and your relationship with honeybees.
Yeah, kuleana is a deep responsibility from the heart. And I feel that with bees, and I also feel it with our beekeepers, that when you honey a hive, you're honeying those bees into your life and in your lifestyle. And same with our beekeepers. We have beekeepers that have joined our honey hives family, and they are still part of our ohana, even if they've moved off island. And it's these connections that we make that are for life, really. And what we all center on is really the love for bees and our connection to them and the big picture of how we can actually contribute. That word honey is, and that word kuleana is actually part of the center of how I live my life and also how I run my business because honey means to adopt. You're not biologically connected, but you are just as if you were. And honestly, bees are not native to the Hawaiian Islands. They have been honeyed in the big picture. And there's so much of what, you know, our food system relies on honeybees, quite honestly. All the things that you know, not all of the things, but like macadamia nuts, we wouldn't have them if we didn't have honeybees. So instead of taking away, honeybees have come here and I feel like they've contributed to the larger ecosystem and food system. And in the same way, I follow the honeybees' path. I came here and I'm not from here. And it's my kuleana to follow that lead of the honeybees and actually support and help grow and not take away, but contribute. It's my kuleana, my responsibility to teach and to mentor in a way that comes from a place of my heart, which is, you know, deep love for the bees and also the beekeepers that also take that responsibility seriously and make their own lives and their own ohana grow. And that goes out into the community. And it is so amazing to see that ripple effect. I'm so grateful to do this work.
I love your attitude. It's just wonderful. Thank you very much. Mahalo, I appreciate your time today.
Mahalo, Eric. I appreciate you asking me. It's been so much fun.
Thanks for joining us on Bee Love Beekeeping, presented by Man Lake. If you like this content, I hope you'll share it with a friend. Follow and subscribe to this podcast, and even sign up for our newsletter at BeeLoveBeekeeping.com. Also, just a shout out to Vita Bee Health for their support. We appreciate them. Vita's Varroa Control range of products includes Apistan, Apigard, and now Varroxan, extended release oxalic acid strips. Thanks, guys. And remember, if you're not just in it for the honey or the money, you're in it for the love. See you next week.